Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, last week I talked with you about the church, and in particular that when we come together here, God doesn't want us just to come and attend and do religion, but to have a living, breathing, alive relationship with our God through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again, so that we might be reconciled to God and have a living relationship with him through Christ. Amen?
Amen?
God also wants us to have a living relationship with each other in love. And today, in this sermon series on the church, I'd like to talk with you about what about when things go wrong in church? What about instead of being helped, you are wounded? Instead of being healed, you're hurt. Instead of being built up, you're torn down. Instead of being welcomed, you're driven away. Have you ever had an experience like that in church in all your days? Hopefully not, but probably yes. And hopefully not here, especially. But you know what? Many people do get hurt in church, and I'd like to talk about that today. There's actually a Barna research study that said that 37% of American adults were Christians or are Christians don't go to church on Sundays because that they were hurt sometime in the past by some negative experience. That's 4 in 10 say that they were hurt. And so today, let's take a look at when people are hurt by the church. What's God say about that? Why does that happen? How can we avoid it? And how can you be healed when you are hurt? So what's God have to say to us about these things in his holy word? What can we say? Well, first of all, we know this, that God tells us in his word that he did not create the church to hurt or harm people, but to bless them and to save them. Listen to some of the glorious things that we are as the church in Scripture. We look here at 1 Timothy 3, for example. Or sorry, it's actually 1 Timothy 3. Paul says to Timothy, "I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these instructions to you so that if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth." Say that, pillar and bulwark of the truth. So in the world full of lies, we have the truth of God in his holy word, the truth that sets us free and gives us eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's fantastic. Where is there any room for hurt there? That's to save God's intention. Also, you can look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Probably have memorized this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. No room for hurt there as well. We are called, chosen, loved, God's own people, and we have a glorious mission. Then you could also look at the next page here. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So we are a ransomed people, and we're a saved people, justified freely, and we are a people of love, as it is said in 1 John. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and to send his son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So we're all these wonderful things, ransomed, healed, forgiven, saved, to be a blessing, all these great things. Where is there any room in all of this for getting hurt? Come on. Or being damaged in any way. Why do 37%, 4 in 10 of American adults avoid church on Sundays because of some negative experience in the past? Well, answer to that, happily God tells us in Scripture. And he tells it to us ahead of time so that we don't get shocked or surprised when it happens. And tells us how to guard against it. Why do people get hurt? Any answers? It's not because of God. It's not because of the truth. It's not because of true Christians acting in their true nature, their new nature, or because of the word. It's because of sin and the devil's attacks. Guess what? We're a people at war as well. We're the Lord's army. And if you're fighting in a battle, you can expect to be damaged sometimes, not by God or true Christians in their true nature, new nature, but from sin and from the attacks of the evil one. For though we live in the world, says Paul, we're not carrying on a worldly war. And in Ephesians, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we're not contending against flesh and blood people, but against the principalities, powers, world rulers of the present darkness, the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, demons. And therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Does that mean that you're never going to get damaged or hurt in this battle? There are times in which we do get hurt, even in church. For guess what? The devil doesn't only come against us from the outside, beating against our walls, but outside our palisades, not there only, but also, like any good enemy, like any scheming enemy, from inside as well, to infiltrate the ranks, to work inside with his own henchmen, with his own poisons, in order to destroy from within as well as from outside, right? And so how do we get hurt? Let me give you three basic ways here with some examples from scriptures and myself. He can hurt us by true Christians. Ugh. Now that is really sad, and that is very upsetting, but it's also true. For remember that when we are baptized and we believe in Christ, we come up out of those waters refreshed, renewed, forgiven, saved, justified through faith in Christ, destined for heaven. But do we come up perfect? We don't come up perfect. In fact, we are in the process of becoming perfect, growing in love, but we are not perfect. You got an old sinful nature, friends, as well as I. What does Peter say in his letter? 1 Peter 2. Beloved, I beseech you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul. Do you guys have passions in your flesh? Do you have a waging of a war inside of you too? And whenever we subdue that, which we usually do as Christians, all's well and good. But sometimes that ugly sin nature, especially when we're tired or tempted, rears up and we hurt each other. What a terrible thing. I think of a time when I was, in certain churches in the past, I've been to church council meetings where I could just about go. I remember getting there. I was on internship year, vicarage, and I remember going to the council meeting and going, whoa, where have I landed? Give me a knife. I think I can cut the air, right? It was like, wow, how did this happen? And even in the Bible, we read Paul saying, you are called to freedom, brethren. Only don't use that freedom as a pretext for evil, but be servants of one another in love, right? But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you're not consumed by one another. Did the churches in the old days have problems too? Paul's day, they bite and devour. In our day as well, when the sin nature gets a hold. Are there times when, in fact, churches have been broken over the color of paint on the walls? We talked about that last night on the sale, right? Or in the bathrooms? Or how to keep the church grounds? Or whether we are, should we have oatmeal raisin cookies or chocolate chip cookies at the banquet? And whole churches have been destroyed. Why? Not because of anything about God or truth or true Christians in the faith, but because the sin nature digs in its heels and its pride and says, oatmeal raisin, no chocolate chip, and then divisions and hurt for silly, stupid reasons. That is sin's work, and that's the devil's work, and that's why we got to be on guard against these things. For no church is immune to those, but we are certainly able to defend from them when we grow up in the faith. Anybody have children here? Have you seen your children as little tiny children get into scuffles with each other and scraps on the floor? Yeah, but mature Christians, when they're grown up, your children, when they're grown up, hopefully are loving each other. And so we need to grow up in the faith by the word, by prayer, and just subduing this old nature, which even the mature escape only by the skin of their teeth sometimes. But how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And so there is that. Even amongst true Christians, sometimes we're hurt. We'll talk about how to be healed from that. But secondly, you can get also hurt by people in the church who are not true Christians at all. People who attend and call themselves by that name, but nevertheless aren't really true Christians. I can remember a time when I was actually in my younger days, I was thinking about being an Episcopal priest when I just was looking into it years ago. And they have a discernment committee at church made up of members to help you discern your call. And I remember going to my first meeting with them. I only got one. Because I shared with them about, they asked me about my life and faith, and I said how God had, you know, I was brought up in the church, but that I'd read New Age books, and I'd gotten messed up in that, and they said, but we like New Age books. And I was like, no, wait, they're wrong, and they lead to bad things. They said, well, what things? I said, well, like, I got into Native American spirituality classes. They said, what's wrong with those? We like those kinds of things. So I was like, but they lead to bad things, like the occult, and I had some bad experiences when I was young. And they said, what things? And I said, I don't really think I should, I'm really kind of a little reluctant to share that with you. And they said, you can trust us. And I was young, okay, so I trusted them. I went to church, I told them, I shared with them some things. I went to church that Sunday. Hi, how you doing? They wouldn't look at me. I walked toward them, they dashed into another room. And they wouldn't have anything to do with me after that. They just ignored me. Yes, thank you for giving me your trust. You know what? The Bible says there are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer to than a brother. True Christians are not going to hurt you that way. And God has blessed the church that we build each other up with comfort and encouragement and counsel and wisdom and everything good. But there are sometimes in the church those who don't really belong to the church. I hope these people that did this to me are now. And I pray for them. I hope that for them. But sometimes people are hurt in the church by people who aren't really Christians. I've met so many people in my life, friends, who have met such people, been hurt by them, and then they don't ever want to darken the doors of a church ever again because they say, they're all hypocrites. And I don't want anything to do with them. That's all how they all are. And you know what? The person who faints in the day of adversity, that person's strength is small. That is no excuse because you meet a bad apple on the tree, that there are not good, true, and right apples there for you to rejoice in with their fruit. So there's a second way. And here's a third way. People get hurt in the church because of pastors. And I think that's the main one. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. False prophets who come to you, you know, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Have you been hurt by the church in your life? I have at times. Usually, and the main thing, is by false shepherds, or ones that are teaching at least corrupt teachings, but sometimes they're actually wolves. It shouldn't come as a shock to you, or to me, or a surprise, or throw off our faith, as if this is strange. Peter warned of that. He said, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Was it the case in Jesus' day? Say amen. Amen. We just read there, he said, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you traverse land and sea to make a single convert, and then you make as much a child of hell as yourselves, twice as much. Paul says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. Therefore, be alert. And so this shouldn't take us by shock or drive us from the church. A lot of people do. Here's two types of wolves. One wolf takes away from the word and subtracts from it. When I was younger and in college, I went to church each Sunday. I was probably the only student that I saw get up and go to church in the city. Most of the rest were drunk or hungover. But I was wondering in those days about premarital relationships, sex, right? And what's the relationship between men and women? Should it be before marriage, after marriage? I thought it should be probably in marriage, but I was really struggling. I was the last virgin I knew. So I thought, here's what I'll do. I'll go and talk with the Episcopal priest in town at my church, see what he says. Explained my hardships and how I didn't quite know what the Bible says, because I didn't know the Bible in those days well. He said this to me in short, and I'll quote him actually. I don't want you to use this as a line in your bar, in the bar, as if your pastor told you to do this, but as long as you don't harm anyone, go ahead. Have your fun. God's fine with that. That was his advice to me when I was in a vulnerable position and I asked the priest, and whatever God said to me in the word, I'd do. You know what I should have gotten? This is the story of Little Red Riding Hood. I should have gone to him, "My, but what big teeth you have, Grandma. That are better to devour you with, my son." Right? You know how much heartache and struggle and sin I could have avoided, and God did preserve me down to my marriage, but barely, to be saved from my wife. But if he had just opened the Bible and read Ephesians 5, be sure of this, that no immoral man, sexually immoral man, or fornicator has, or one who is covetous, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, and I'd read that there, I would have said, "Good, got it, thank you, I'm on my way, that's great." But that's not what I got. I got mischief. I got destruction. And more damage has been occurred in the church because of pastors and wolves than any other damage, I believe. "For admission has been secretly gained by some," says Jude, "who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Persons who pervert the grace of our God into sexual license and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." But there is another type of wolf. That's the kind who doesn't subtract from the word, but adds to it. I had another trip on my boat just the other week. I told you about where I had met a U.S. Marine who'd been in combat and war. He'd grown up in a legalistic church in another denomination who didn't allow drinking or movies or dancing or swimming in the ocean because that's public bathing and all kinds of other things. Very legalistic and harsh. He said to me, "I have more post-traumatic stress disorder in my life from growing up in that church than from combat, where I saw people die." And it basically destroyed him in a lot of ways, but he's a Christian yet today, thanks be to God. But he told me that his pastor, while he preached against movies, he had a 72-inch widescreen super TV in his living room, the pastor did, and he eventually destroyed the church by greed, fraud, and a money scandal. But there are pastors who not only take away from the word, but those who read this word and they say, "That's not good enough, let's add to it. More burdens." As Jesus said, "You bind burdens upon men that are too heavy to bear, and you won't lift them with a single little finger of your own." And that will destroy a church just as fast as someone who takes away from the word. Amen? Many churches today have that kind of thing. For example, just take alcohol. Now, Lutherans have never had a problem with that. We've always said that's okay. Luther's beverage was dark German beer. But some will say it's a sin. And that's not true. Jesus made the water into wine. And the Corinthian church was definitely drinking wine in the Lord's Supper because they were getting drunk. You can't get drunk on Welch's grape juice. It's God gives wine to gladden the heart of men, says the Psalms. The distinction is that's good. Drunkenness is a sin. That's what the Bible says. But when you change the word, add to it, and say it's a sin to even touch alcohol, now the freedom of the gospel is robbed out of your hands, people's consciences are plunged into guilt, and you destroy and damage souls because you're adding to the word. "Every word of God proves true," says the Proverbs. "He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." So there are both these kinds of ways of people getting hurt. So now how do we heal from these things, friends? Here's the remedy. And I'll tell you, it's not rocket science. It's very simple. God has these words for us. First of all, note that when people are hurt, it's not God. It's not the truth. It's not the word. And it's not the church as true Christians acting in their true nature, their new nature of love. But it's sin and the devil. Make that distinction. And so don't give up the fight or run away from the church and say, "I'll never come back," because you are hurt. Turn and fight and conquer. That's what you're called to do. And how do you do that? Well, number one, with respect to the sinful natures that we have and other true Christians, God has this word for us in Colossians. Let's read it. Colossians, God says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so forgive each, so you also must forgive." So that's pretty wonderful, isn't it? Forgiveness will heal all the wounds that are caused by hurt with you and somebody else. And he also says, forbear one another. Bear up with each other's weaknesses. You're all weird, as am I. We're all a little eccentric. We have to put up with some different perspectives with each other. Don't dig in your heels and say, I got to be right in all cases and such things. Be kind. Remember how God was kind with you when you were a sinner against him, and be that way toward your fellow, namely with patience, and forgive. For the devil is always seeking a landing place, even in this church. Yes, he is. And a port. And I think we're doing great, but we need to be on guard lest he find an opportunity. And forgiveness will shut the door to the devil every time and open the door to your brother. That's why Jesus came to die for us, to open the door to God. And then also, it opens our door to each other in love. And second, with respect to those who call themselves and are Christians but are not, but lie, and who attack you with no true love for the Savior, forgive them too. And you might even need to avoid them. For it says there in Titus 3, as for the man who is factious, after admonishing him once or twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is perverted and sinful, he is self-condemned. Let's try to save the person, pray for them, and forgive them. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You know that song from Frozen? Let it go. Like Jesus did for you. But then also, you might eventually have to withdraw yourself because that person's going to continue to hurt if they're not born again. But hopefully they'll be saved. And then third, with respect to wolves in sheep's clothing, know the word, friends, so you can tell what's true and what's not. Everything I preach up here, and I labor to make sure it's all from the word, guard it. Be like the Berean Christians, says God in Acts chapter 17, who received the word with much gladness, eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. You get damaged when you get a false word subtracted or added to this. Know the word and rejoice when it is taught to you in truth. Guess what? And I want to conclude with this. When you have the word given to you in its purity, simply what God has given you here, that's freedom. The truth will set you free. The gospel gives you the freedom from all your sins and from the devil. And it also teaches you the right way to go so that you don't fall into the byways that lead to destruction. So if you find a false word, cast it off. A true word, receive it. And God has made the church that we live in freedom with each other, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and then loving one another, which binds all things together in perfect harmony. And that, friends, won't hurt you or tear you down. That'll build you up. I've never seen better fellowship. Just like my friends on the boat last night, Christians, I delighted in them. I never knew them before, and here they are today in our church. And I had such great fellowship with them because they knew the Lord, and I know the Lord. And that makes for such blessed relationships, where I've never had such relationships as I have found in the church. I counsel the wise, the comfort of friends, the encouragement of true believers, and a living relationship with my God through Jesus, who died for me, who rose again, through whom I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, I'm saved, I'm justified, I'm destined for heaven, and I have the company of the saints to go through life with. That is such a blessing. And through the middle of the street of the city, says John, on either side of the river, the tree of life in the kingdom to come, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree will be for the healing of the nations. Every hurt and harm in and outside the church will be washed away and wiped by our Lord on that day. Look forward to that. And so now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.